Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. My name is Michael Bozzi. I'm your host. And on this podcast, we talk about all things content strategy, all in service of building an audience. Now, today's topic is, it's the culmination of a series, the sort of capstone of a series I've been doing on repurposing content, making multiple uses of the same content so that you can be more efficient. And today I want to talk about repurposing content into an online course. Now, first of all, have you ever thought about creating an online course? I mean, it can be a great instrument for you and your business. I mean, first of all, it's a highly structured way to teach your customers about your topic. And in today's world, the selling process really is about teaching. People who learn from you are way more likely to buy from you. But you can use an online course in two distinct ways, either as a saleable product or as a free product. Now, the benefits of a saleable product are obvious, right? You can convert some of your knowledge into a revenue stream, and who doesn't want to do that? But what about a free product? Why would you want to do that? Well, you can use it one of two ways. First, for customer acquisitions. For instance, if you're selling something else like a training, a program, consulting, or you could use it for customer onboarding. So for instance, to get a new customer up to speed without, you know, having to take up one-to-one time from you or your sales reps, for instance. Now you could see how each of these cases makes you or your business more efficient. You can educate your customer, but it doesn't require you to be there. So you create this course product once and then use it over and over again. That's great for the customer and great for you too. So how do you produce an online course? Now there are a bunch of platforms that make this fairly easy to do now. Well, okay, not easy to create the content, but easy to publish it. And the best ones out there are Teachable, Udemy, Canvas, which is the platform that I use for the college course that I teach on content strategy. But there are dozens of other options as well. And, you know, look, I could do a whole series on the production and delivery process, but that's not what I want to focus on here. What I want to focus on is how to streamline the content process so that you don't have to stop everything in order to produce an online course. And as small business owners, we're all busy. We can't do that, right? You got to keep running your business. You got to keep using content to connect with an audience. Why not have it work towards something? Now, if we reuse content that you're already planning to create and get more than one use out of it, well, obviously that can make you way more efficient. So think about this. You can produce a blog and an online course at the same time. You can produce a podcast and an online course at the same time. You can produce a series of YouTube videos and an online course at the same time. But as you might imagine, it takes some clever planning up front. And in this segment, I'm going to focus on one of those methods that I use. But look, you should be able to extrapolate it to any format. So here's my method. Hold on one quick second. I'll be right back after this brief message. Okay, back to the show. First of all, pick a topic. Make it pretty narrow so that you can stay focused and deliver a lot of value to your audience. So think about up front, what's your goal? Is it to educate your customers so that ultimately they can do business with you? Great, right? That's a great use of a course. So let's do an introductory series that achieves that. Or maybe your goal is to onboard new customers, get them up to speed so they know what they need to know before working with you or using your product. That's another great use of an online course. Or here's the thing, maybe your online course can do both at the same time. So then you got your concept, you know your goals, you chart this out, come up with a plan based on the content that you need, right? Is it going to be a mini course, let's say 6 to 8 segments, or does it need to be something more involved, like the course that I produced? It's a 42-segment course called Create Biz, which is for writers, musicians, and visual artists. And you can see an example of that at createbiz.com if you're interested. But look, if you're getting clever, really clever about this, how about a series of mini courses that build towards a larger course. And I'll get into that later in this segment. All right, so next step, structure it. So what are the basics? Make it really orthogonal if you can. So each topic really contained, super tight. Remember, you're teaching this, right? So make it easy to digest. Small bites, nutritious bites in reasonable portions, if you'll take that little analogy. And then, of course, there's the next big thing, which is to sequence it properly, right? It is teaching after all. And, you know, consider your audience. Are they just getting started with your topic? Are they novices or more advanced? And if they're total beginners, let's make sure that you're covering the very basics in very simple language. Just because you're the expert, it's very easy to start talking at a higher level, right? You've probably noticed that if you ever do presentations for folks or whatever. You want to try to keep this very simple so that you don't cause too much stress for your learner. Learning's hard, right? So, and it does provoke this sort of stress response. So you want to try to ease them into it and not stress them out. That right there is good teaching. All right, so now you got a plan. So let's start producing the content. And it really doesn't matter what the content is. So look, if that's going to be a blog, great. There's no reason that your online course can't be text only. Or maybe you might include some graphics or images. That's totally fine. But I like to go a step further and actually use audio. As a podcaster, as a musician, audio is very natural to me. It's easy for me to work with. So it works great. And maybe that goes for you as well. Now, with a little planning up front, I can use the audio from my podcast to create an online course, right? So this is not just reusing text. It's actually reusing the audio file itself. Then I just create some PowerPoint slides. Actually, I use Apple's Keynote instead. I really hate PowerPoint. But you take these slides, combine them with the audio, and then you've got this nice presentation, which is audio over slides, and I can use that presentation as is, or I can cut in some screen share walkthroughs. Now, like I said, yes, this takes a little planning, but let me show you how I do that. And I'm going to use a podcast as an example because that's, you know, that's how I do it, but you could use this for video content too. All of this is just a method to sort of teach you how to do this. All right, so when you're planning the podcast episode, you want to break it into three sections. There's the podcast intro, the lesson content, and the podcast outro. Now, the lesson content is key, right? It has to stand on its own. So in other words, it's going to really need a very strong opening and a very strong closing. And remember, for the folks who are in your online course, they're only going to hear the lesson content with the slides. So try to create this lesson with that in mind. It has to be completely self-contained and powerfully instructive. So start there with your lesson when you're writing this out, whether you're scripting or outlining it or whatever, and then just append an intro and an outro for the podcast part. Now, you can hear that in this podcast. I do this occasionally where I publish an episode, but I have the intent to publish it as an online course as well. And in my podcast, you'll always hear, I start by introducing myself. I introduce the topic of the episode and generally try to welcome the listener, right? Remember the context here. In a podcast, if someone's listening, they're walking to work, they're on the subway, on the treadmill, at the grocery store, they're listening in the car, wherever it is that they listen to podcasts. Generally, they're not in front of their computer, and, you know, here's the other thing. Maybe they're a regular listener and they already know you well, or maybe they're not. Maybe this is the first episode that you've ever listened to of this podcast, and maybe you're just trying this out, right? And you want to see, hey, is this thing for me or not, right? So look, when you're producing this on your own, you got to introduce yourself and just give them a reason to keep listening. And the same thing kind of goes for the outro too, right? You want to thank them for listening, maybe ask them to subscribe. And if you can, and you've prepared this, give them a preview of what's coming up in the next episode. Now, so that you can see that these things, while they're important, they're somewhat unrelated to the lesson content, right? So the tricky thing here is to get the flow so that it feels natural. And this is often not so easy. Sometimes this is hard to do. But look, once you do it a few times, you'll start to get the hang of it. And if you can't do that, the worst case is that you can just cut in a couple of takes, right? You can just do the performance, if you will, in two takes. What I mean is to literally do this. Let me walk you through this. So suppose you're recording, you're in the flow, and let's say you want to offer a link for more information. This is going to sound a little different in each context, so you stop to record two lines. The first one is, hey, I left a link for you in the show notes. That's for the podcast version, right? Because we have show notes. We don't have show notes in a course, right? So the second line that you'd record is, hey, I left a link for you below this video. So that would be for the course version. And then when you're editing, you just cut the first one into the podcast and the second one in for the course. And yes, that's a little extra work, but it's not as much work as re-recording and re-editing an entirely new segment, right? And just a little note about the word segment, right? Because podcasts have episodes. Courses have lessons or modules. And you can reduce your editing load a lot if you kind of train yourself to use the word segment instead. And you may hear me do this throughout this podcast, right? Because segment works for both. And it means that I can make fewer edits if I intend to use that, you know, that podcast episode or that podcast series to create a mini course. So you might hear that in this very podcast. Okay, so once you've recorded the audio, during the editing process, you're going to want to fork this into two versions. So you're going to have a podcast version and you're going to have a course version. Now just output each version into its own MP3 format. And now you got two files. The first one is for your podcast, obviously. And for the second one, you just create a set of slides and merge them together into one video that now has the slides and the audio file synced, the one that you created, right? Now, for me, I use Camtasia for this. It's super easy. I do believe that that software is about $100. You can use iMovie if you have a Mac. That one's free, but I kind of find it difficult to work with, and it's kind of crashy as well. Or, I can offload this sometimes. I might hire one of my students to create the slides, for instance, or I might hire a video producer to create a professional-looking video so that I don't have to do it myself and, you know, someone who's better at it than I am. And then you just create the course, right? You got a ton of options here at this point. You could offer it to everyone for free or lock it behind a paywall. You can have it be free and closed, right? So for instance, maybe you want to make it so that someone has to be a subscriber to your blog or a site member in order to get the free course. Or you could set it up as an email drip sequence as well, sending one lesson at a time, right? I mean, there are so many things you can do with this content once you have it completed. Now, especially with a paid course, you might be thinking, because I get this objection, if you will, why would someone pay for something you've already published for free? Well, first of all, the format and the context matters. Listening to a podcast in iTunes is not the same as experiencing it in an online course. This is called packaging, right? Sure, you can scroll through, find the episodes for free in iTunes, that's kind of hard to use as a reference, isn't it? Right? It's sort of difficult to go back and refer to it when you need it. I mean, yes, you could do it, but it's, you know, there's some friction on that. Secondly, the experience is different. In the example that I just described, there's a visual component too with the slides. So for those who are visual learners, this is a big enhancement. And lastly, you can include other tools and resources in the course version as well. So for instance, templates, handouts, graphics, or the slides themselves for download, anything that provides more value to the learner. And these things, all of them add value and, you know, potentially enough value that it's even worth paying for. The best thing to do is to think of ways to differentiate the two products, the free podcast and then the paid course. Again, the context is really different and you want to treat each audience differently because they each have different goals and different expectations. All right, so the last thing that I want to talk about is making the project more manageable with mini courses. I mentioned this earlier. And let's say that you have six categories or, you know, six topics of things that you need to teach to your customer. Well, why not break that into six little mini courses? And this can help sort of make the project feel not so daunting. So, for instance, let's start with the first mini course. You know, think of 5 to 6 lessons, produce all of that, publish it, and then hit the next one, right? Another 5 to 6 lessons. And little by little, you'll keep building it towards one larger course or whatever. You can just package it up into a bundle of mini courses. So I'll give you an example. Judging by the common requests that I get from potential clients, I can create many little mini courses to cover those topics and then roll them up into a larger course on content strategy. So lately, I've been getting asked a lot about SEO training or search engine optimization. Been doing sort of one-to-one sessions and these trainings on just teaching people the basics in an hour or two just so that they can, you know, they know how to do this so they won't be invisible to almighty Google. So why not create a mini course on that, right? So the next time I get asked about it, this might be something where I don't have to take the one-on-one engagement with a client, right? I can just give them the mini course and maybe that's good enough for them, right? Maybe they want training, the one-on-one training that's going to be more expensive, or maybe they'll take the cheaper thing that is this 5 or 6 lessons on SEO training, right? Then it's up to them. I got 2 different levels of product, if you will. And then beyond the SEO mini course, what about a mini course on social media strategies or a mini course on starting a podcast, right? These are things that I know extremely well from my work with clients. Why not build something that I can use to replicate myself over and over again where I don't have to be there? And this comes from all questions I get all the time, requests that I get all the time from either my audience or my prospective clients. And those are the same audience, right? They're all small business owners, just like you and me. And if they're asking and I can help them, why not? Right? So that's the way that you can think about it too. So what are your customers asking? What do you find yourself going back to all the time? You know, maybe you can create something that's a product that helps productize your knowledge. Kind of cool, right? All right. One more thing that bears repeating. Everything that I've described here, yes, it's with audio. I'm going from podcast to online course, but look, you can do the same thing with video if you're clever about it. You can do the same thing with text if you're clever about it. I just want to underscore that all that matters here is that you're planning up front so that you can make these multiple uses of content and you're not having to go and repurpose it. You do it up front. It just saves you a lot of time. And here's the thing. An online course is a great way to service your customers or prospective customers, as I've talked about. And I get it. The prospect of this can seem really daunting because the scope of this project before you've started seems like it's really heavy. But that's why I wanted to lay out this method of mine here to really help you break it down into pieces and just make it seem a little bit more manageable so that you can actually get the project done. All right, so that'll about do it. This concludes the series on repurposing content. I really hope that you found a few things throughout this series that help you run your content strategy better. And if you like what you've heard, please let me know. Just leave a rating, a review in iTunes. It really helps a lot. Or just leave me a comment on one of the show pages. I love to hear from my listeners. I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate the attention that you give me. And I love to hear when you've been inspired or have learned something new or whatever, and it's helped you with your business. That's really gratifying to me. So thank you again, and I'll see you on the next episode.